This is the Totally Ice Hockey Show, direct from the action in Finland. We're bringing you all the news, insights, reactions, insider tips, and much, much more from the IIHF World Championships. The best 30 minutes of your day start now.
That was clinical. Pasternak's had an effect already in this game. Krejci comes all the way down, puts it towards Cervenka. Krejci, Pasternak, Cervenka, you'll probably hear that more this evening.
Reagan, I know you've been enjoying saying that Elvis is in the building, but we've got to change it because Pasta's in the house.
Pasta is in the house, and we are happy to have him. Well, I am at least happy to have him. The other team's probably not so much. His teammates, though, really embraced him. And, I mean, he's played with a few of them before, actually a lot of them, and he's been with Czechia. And so they were happy to have him as an addition, especially for last night's game, because they were coming back from that loss the other day, and that was really tough in the locker room for them. They were not happy about it, but he definitely rejuvenated them with his energy and his play on the ice.
He's so infectious. Beyond being incredibly talented, he's such an infectious personality. You could see how he would lift the team's spirits and just how that, beyond the skill, would help the team out. But the skill is there. He is one of the best players in the world. So to add him in playoff form to the middle of a tournament where he only has, you know, 10 days left to finish it off, all of a sudden, Czechia is an entirely different roster, an entirely different animal with Pasta, Krejci, Cervenka, and then Hurdle doing his thing. They're scary now. Pasta changes everything, the complexion of that team and the rest of the tournament.
He's the energy, you guys. I was telling you about
that. Energy money.
I told you it only takes one.
Well, he's a big one.
Team Austria is definitely happy to have met Czechia before Pasta had arrived, because like you're saying, Mike, he changed this lineup, and things did not look good for Latvia yesterday, which we were talking about them beforehand, how excited their fans are, how we're happy to see them, and it just did not look good for them against this Czechia team yesterday.
Yeah, it was the same situation that happened with Sweden and Great Britain, where they scored a lot of goals in the first period, and then they switched the goalies out, and then nothing. And I was like, well, should you start with a backup goalie from now on? Or is everyone, like, the starting goalies, are they getting tired? Kind of looks like it, but not really at the same time, because when you added Pasta onto the line, the way that he moves around the ice, he's sneaky. He will just sneak back door and nobody notices. They're like, nobody's going to know. Where is he? And he'll just like float around the neutral zone. He's up and down the ice and you can't really pinpoint him at any point in time.
When you talk about getting lost on the ice, and that's a skill. And you'd think, well, is David Pasternak, how are we possibly going to lose track of where that guy is? But the way he uses the net, the way he uses the coverage to kind of get into traffic, then come out the other side, it's very smart. And then he also plays with guys who completely understand where he's going. David Krejci on Pasternak's goal, Krejci could have told you 7 seconds beforehand, oh, I know what's going to happen here. He's going to swing around the net. He's going to get lost in coverage. I'm going to throw a nice little pass and we're going to score. It's yeah, he's a tremendous, tremendous player. Doesn't matter, NHL, international, Boston, Czechia. He plays the same way. And he does bring a certain like freedom to the way that he plays, the way that he is. And in pressure situation and a tense international competition, that would be a welcome addition, just to kind of have that levity of, it's okay, boys. We got this. We're just playing. It's okay. I'm here. It's okay. And generally, it is.
And he talked about that and the Bruins connection after the game that you had mentioned earlier. Listen to him.
No, I wouldn't say struggling. You know, obviously, it's a hard tournament. You won't have an easy opponent here. So, you know, I think the first two games, to be honest, they play pretty well. You know, they end up only with 3 points. But, you know, Austria, it's a team sometimes this... These teams just play defense, you know, very, very well structured team, and you know, some of these games are gonna happen. So, how I said, it's not easy, and you know, today we knew we have to come up big, and obviously weren't happy with ourselves. So I think we had a great first, you know, and then kind of played it through.
You and David Krejci look like you have not missed a beat since you played together in Boston. What was it like to be reunited with him here today?
Oh yeah, obviously very fun. You know, we love playing together. You know, I know what they expect from him. You know, he knows the same. So it was easy. You know, not much practice needed for us, and you know, he's a great player. So it's very easy to play with him.
Did you notice when he's talking about Czechia maybe struggling a little bit? We struggled. We played fine. He wasn't even on the team. He could have been, yeah, well, they struggled scoring. You know, they had a hard time. No, it was we. Like, he wasn't even here, and it was we. Just little things like that endear him. He's not saying, you guys struggled before I was here. He's like, no, I'm part of this. I always have been. A nice little touch there on how he spoke about his team.
Yeah, that's super important, especially in leadership, because it's we before me always, especially on a hockey team, because if somebody makes a mistake, you guys all suffer at the same time. And I think talking about it that way lets them know that he's there to stay and that he isn't just there because he's David Pastrnak. He's there because he wants to be there and because he wants to play with them.
And Reagan, it's not only about your teammates, it's about your fans. And you caught a moment between Pasta and the fan yesterday. That's your moment of the day.
Yeah, it was so sweet. So it was right after the interview. He was walking off. By the way, got this in slow-mo and in 4K, just in case anybody wants to see it.
So they can find it on IIHF TikTok later today, right?
Yep, on TikTok. I'll post it. But he was walking off, and he kind of passed by a fan that had a Pastrnak jersey, a Bruins one. And then all of a sudden, slow-mo rips his head around and he goes back and signs it. And the kid was so happy. The kid's reaction was in slow-mo too. So if anyone wants to see that, we have it as well. But it was a really sweet moment that he shared because everybody was super excited to see him. And he was all over the Jumbotron today.
It's those moments of meeting your heroes that means so much to little kids who will one day possibly wear that jersey and remember that moment where they met Pastrnak and he was part of the reason that they are where they are today.
That's how Reagan, I feel.
Did you have anything like that growing up? Did you ever meet
so
your...
many.
Yeah? Who would have been your hero that you had a chance to meet? Hillary Knight, that one?
Hillary Knight was one of them. And then it was the captain of Team USA from years, years back. She was also Asian. I'm half Filipino, in case anybody's wondering. And so I really looked up to her just because of her leadership. And she wrote on this index card for me, it said, "Let me just dream big," and then signed it. And I kept it in my wallet for years.
Dream big. It's good advice. That's good advice.
That's right.
Mike, how about your moment of the day?
My moment of the day is maybe not quite as sentimental, more practical, but Dylan Cousins got a hat trick. And I just think, you know, hat tricks are rare, so they're worth celebrating. But just he had two. The game was kind of out of hand. And you knew his teammates wanted to get him the third. And they got out the power play and they found a way to get him the puck. They kind of were forcing it to him for a few shifts, which I appreciate. I totally like. And they did that again. And that line with Dubois and Roy has been really good. But Cousins hadn't scored yet. So for him to get part of the party, to him to get some points and feel good about himself, really important. But listen, he's wearing his national team jersey. He got a hat trick and a big win. That's some pretty cool stuff.
And we have Dubois talking about this. Take a listen.
Yeah, well, we're having a blast. So, I mean, the chemistry off the ice is coming along, so the chemistry on the ice, too. We talk a lot about our game with him and Nikki. Tonight before the game, we were joking around about getting him that watch. And then when he's at two, we're like, why stop there? I mean, I passed him the puck, had two guys on him. He's probably the only guy I would have passed it to, but he put it in, and I'm really happy for him. Three goals at this tournament. So, at his age, especially in his first Worlds, is a really great achievement.
Gotta get him that watch.
Gotta get him that watch. It's all about the tea. So hit me up. Yes, exactly.
So, Mike, I have a question. What was going on in that game? Because I was watching the live score and I was like, why is it tied right now?
Well, Canada, they were a little bit sleepy. I think they took three penalties in the first 9 minutes. So they played the entire start of the first period shorthanded. They had an own goal to open the game, point shot that hit off a shin and it passed Logan Thompson. So, it was almost predictable, kind of like what happened with Italy, but it happened a couple of different times. Just too many breakdowns, attention to detail. Claude Julien would be like, tomorrow we're going to show this, tomorrow we're going to show that, because we have a lot of stuff we can clean up. So their play without the puck just wasn't crisp. It wasn't focused. And against anyone, including Kazakhstan, who hasn't scored a whole bunch, you give them rushes, you give them two-on-ones, you give them power plays, they'll find a way to score goals. But the good thing for Canada is that, I guess, three times in this tournament they've trailed. Italy, they scored like 2 minutes after. Kazakhstan, the first goal, they scored 2 minutes after, it responded right away whenever they've tried, which is a pretty good sign as well.
Yeah, and they've looked like a pretty good team up until, well, yesterday's game. I watched some of it back, but I wish I could have seen it live because Kazakhstan taking the lead, I was a little shocked about that at first.
It was early enough that Canada wasn't panicking. There was lots of time left for them to kind of right the ship, get their game in order. They did.
And Reagan over here in Tampere, USA versus Great Britain. USA ended up with the win. But again, it seemed as if it took them time to get into this game. We talked about this, the Energizer Bunny. Where's the energy during that first period when they first hit the ice? It still doesn't seem to be there.
And I don't know if they're going to get it this tournament. It sucks for me to say because, you know, I wish all the best for Team USA, obviously. But at the same time, they need to find a way to make it work without what we're asking for. And, you know, I think it was 29 minutes of play. Nobody scored. It was 0-0. So when it was going into the second period, it was like 0-0 really right now with Great Britain. No offense, Great Britain. I love you guys. I love everyone. But yeah, I think it was the power plays that hurt them. Bella's got two of them. And that was basically the end of it.
Yeah, the Americans are interesting right now. They're kind of work in progress, aren't they? Trying to find exactly who they are. But I'm a big fan of Jeremy Swayman. And having him in net, I think, is going to offer a chance. Even if they don't look great, if they don't score a ton, if they can defend well and have great goaltending, they'll stay in every game. And I think Swayman is good enough to be one of the goalies at this tournament. So that is a positive. He steps in there, gets a shutout, which is obviously very nice. But I think going forward, the goaltending should be an area of strength for the Americans.
Good. They need it.
Mike, Germany-Denmark, not the most entertaining game that we saw yesterday, but an important win for Germany.
Yeah, they found a way. It was a slow, pedestrian-paced game. Shots were maybe 35 shots between both teams for the whole game. Power play goal from Michaelis in the second period, and Germany just kind of nursed it all the way home. And Denmark, surprisingly, didn't really make a push. It's one thing, you know, you play a close game and you're comfortable in it. You're going to be defensive. But even the last 10 minutes of the game, there was not that kind of frantic, intense energy by Denmark making a push. It feels as though, like, the top three teams, Germany, Switzerland, Canada, are going to beat everybody else. And it's going to come down last day to Denmark, Slovakia. And whoever wins that game gets the fourth spot. But Denmark it's been so strange how they've played. The great offense against Kazakhstan, but just not much going on elsewhere otherwise. So that was a very sleepy game, which happens at times. It's no big criticism of the players. It happens, but Germany will take the win and move on because that's all there really was noteworthy in that game.
And I don't know if you've noticed, but we're already a week into this tournament. It is day 8. It has flown by, which means that we're sort of midway through this tournament. And in order to mark the midway, we're going to give out some highlights and some midway prizes, if we can call them. So first one I want you guys to hit me with is, which team or player has surprised you the most so far? Reagan, let's start with you.
I'm going to go with Austria, mainly for the big dub that they had and just how they've been playing, because they weren't supposed to be here. And seeing them show up to play and take points away from really big teams has been super cool to watch and watch it like go throughout this tournament. And then a player from Austria, it would be Marco Kasper. The kid's got talent. Unbelievable. I love watching him. He'll dangle anyone. He doesn't care. He's like, you've been playing here since you were 10 and now you're 30. Yeah, I'm going to dangle you. It doesn't matter to me.
Mike?
Can't sleep on the kids ever.
No.
So much confidence. You know what? This might seem counterintuitive, but the team that has impressed me the most so far is Canada. And I know Canada generally has a good team and they have a lot of players to choose from, but Canada rarely starts this tournament well. It's always a slow build where they hope to kind of peak for next weekend. But right from the get-go, Canada has been kind of organized and focused and efficient and kind of in control. Kazakhstan game excluded, it was a little closer than they wanted, but they still never were really at risk of losing. And that is strange. We saw last year, Canada lost their first three games. Like, it's just for them to kind of arrive in form has been impressive for me.
And who is your disappointment so far?
What do you got, Reagan?
Can you guys guess what mine is? Team USA.
Three letters?
Yes, three letters, Team USA. Actually, that's a word and three letters. Anyways, USA has been very disappointing to watch because of, you know, I've grown up watching them. I've idolized these guys. I've idolized the girls team as well, or the women's team. And to see them not perform the way I was hoping that they would, it's really hurt my heart. And also the loss against Finland was tough with all the fans in the building and one singular USA fan. And no, you couldn't even hear a cheer whenever they scored their last goal. And yeah, it's just been really disappointing to me.
But do you see potential in there somewhere, or are they going to kind of tread water?
I don't think they're making it to the championship, but they will make it to the quarterfinals and then whoever
Semis?
They play against. I don't know. Actually, I've been guessing all these games wrong, so don't ask me these questions.
Oh, you got the first our first prediction right. So
yeah, that's the only one. I was predicting scores yesterday, and I got everything wrong, especially because Kazakhstan messed me up.
Well, blame the Kazakhs for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny you say blame the Kazakhs, because to me, they're the disappointing team so far, because they almost qualified for the quarters last year, and they returned 20 of the, like, the entire team is back, except for their goaltender, but their goaltender, Shutov, the other goalie that's playing this year, has been quite fine. They've been so strange. They just haven't had what we saw last year, whatever there's the magic or the intensity or the structure or the just the moments of rising when it matters. They just haven't had that this year, starting with the strangest 9-1 loss I've ever seen in my life to Denmark, where it was like Kazakhstan had never even played together, or maybe even never played at all. Like, that's how disjointed they looked. So you would have thought, well, maybe they will be battling with Slovakia and Denmark to kind of try to find that fourth spot in the group. And they're going to have to find the spot not to be relegated is what they'll be worrying about. So yeah, they've been surprisingly disappointing.
Midway MVPs, Reagan.
This is, you guys are going to make fun of me, but Pastrnak.
Oh my God. I am going to make fun of you. Yes.
Okay. But watching it yesterday and seeing him change the entire game and their outlook on the game, I mean, obviously I'm going to need to watch the next ones, but the way that he came into it and just how rejuvenated that Czechia seemed, even after that big loss, it was kind of incredible to me.
He's played one game.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. He's going to keep playing more.
It's Latvia. And you're giving the MVP of the first half. Okay.
Midway.
Good to know.
Not I also put to him mention on my team.
His teammate, Roman Chervenka, leading the tournament in scoring. But okay, we'll give it to Pasta. Sure enough.
I'm just
okay,
fangirling, well, Mike. Give me a break.
Well, I keep it real.
Mike, who are you fangirling over?
I'm going over Dennis Malgin for Switzerland. He has been really good. He's scored in every game. He's got 8 points already. Switzerland is undefeated heading into their big matchup with Canada on Saturday for effectively first in the group. And for a guy that has been over in the NHL and you see kind of glimpses of his skill, but he never put it maybe all together, he is putting it all together. It's not just the goals, not just the points, but his impact shift after shift, speed, pace, creativity. He's been Switzerland's best player. He's probably been, along with Pierre-Luc Dubois, the best offensive player in this group. So he's my halfway MVP.
And quickly, guys, what are you most looking forward to in the games ahead?
Mike, I see yours. Go ahead.
Well, it's Canada, Switzerland, right? Like, they've been on a crash course inevitable since day one. We've been highlighting this game on Saturday. They're going to play each other. Both are undefeated. Both have had really strong games and other games where they've kind of been okay, but they know this is the game. This is it. You win this, you win the group. And you can avoid Finland or Sweden for sure in the quarterfinals, which is important. And you get Reagan's Team USA or maybe Reagan's pasta-induced Czechia. So I'm curious to see that, because I think this game will get their attention and we'll see the best version of each team. Head-to-head, that should be fun.
Reagan, how about you?
Sweden-USA matchup. I'm always biased when it comes to these questions because I
You're
love
torn,
Sweden.
Your two countries.
Yeah, my two countries that I love so, so dearly. And yeah, I think the game's going to be really good. will probably be favored in towards Sweden. But if USA can pull out some points from this, I will be a little bit surprised. And maybe if they can and they can compete just like Finland did, then they could go into the semis, but probably not. But definitely quarters.
Well, Team Finland gets back on the ice today, which means that Rania Sevalainen joins us. Good morning, Rania.
Good morning.
Rania, we haven't spoken since the preview that we did for that Sweden game. So allow me to go back 36 hours before we talk about today's game. How tough was that loss for you?
It was tough. I guess we're the little brothers now. No.
Is that how it works? Whoever wins becomes the big brother? Because I should tell my brothers that.
Yeah, I think so. So you should tell that. No, but it was a tough loss for sure. But I think that was a good game. And for sure for the fans to watch. So I think it's the best game to watch live when it's penalty shots and everything. So yeah, so that was a good game.
That was the first game that you watched live here in Tampere during this tournament. What was it like for you sitting and watching during those shootouts? As you said, the fans love shootouts. What was it like for you sitting there as a player, knowing what's going through their mind?
I was super nervous. And I was just like, oh, I hope they score, because I think the Swede has a good goalie. He's super big. And I was like, there's not going to be any hole if you don't shoot. And then then I was like, always after some Finnish player got the shootout, I was like, that was so bad. You need to be better. And, you know, you just think you're in the team, but you're still not in the team. And then you're just like, you're too stressed and everything. But yeah, I was stressed and nervous.
As a player, have you ever lost in a rivalry game like this to Sweden?
Yeah, I think when I came into the national team, the Swede was, they were good. I think it was maybe 5 years ago, so I can't remember. We were still the better ones. No, but yeah, it's tough when you lose against Swedes. That's a game you really want to win.
So we talk a lot about having to put these feelings aside after losing, and especially when you lose a game that has a lot more meaning to it, not only to yourself, but to the fans. When it's a game like Sweden, you have to put it behind. And now the Finnish team is facing a team that obviously is not as good as them, but you also want to make sure that you don't play down to their level at any point during the game. How do you do that?
Yeah, it's kind of hard, but you just need to not underestimate teams. That's, I think, the key point. Every team is, they can surprise. Like, I think Austria has surprised everyone. So I just think the Finnish team has to go to play like it will be the best team. It doesn't matter how good they are. Like, they can still surprise. I know, like, I've been underestimated teams, and then I think it's been bad karma. And instead of winning 5-0, it's overtime, and you just get frustrated and you just do stupid things. So I just think they need to do and play their own game and not think who's they're playing against. So they just need to go and make sure they play the best game.
And in terms of playing their best game, what should be their game plan against Great Britain after watching Great Britain during this tournament?
They just need to skate a lot, good passes, be in front of the net and shoot a lot. I think that's what's hard for the Great Britain's goalie, to have someone all the time in front of the net. So I think that's just the main point.
All right. Well, we'll pay attention to that tonight and see if they're able to do that. Put your game plan into effect against Great Britain. Rania, enjoy the rest of your morning. Thank you for being on the Totally Ice Hockey Show.
Thank you.
All right, guys, another big game coming up today, and that is Latvia versus Austria. Hit me with it.
Mike, what you got?
Well, I mean, I think both teams have shown flashes of good play, and both teams have shown themselves to be potentially vulnerable to inconsistent play. But they'll win this game, and I always find it fascinating for the teams that are maybe the bottom half of the standings. That it's always nice when you can look at a team and say, we can beat them. If we play well, we can win. It's on our stick. We're in control this one. And I think both teams will say that, that if they play well, they can get this game. And if they can, then if Austria were to get a win or points out of this, they will completely leave relegation behind. And they'll maybe start thinking, is there some sort of possibility for something crazy to happen for the quarterfinals? So interesting when two teams that or on the bubble there play each other thinking that they have a good chance of winning.
Yeah, and you've seen it with the goaltending too. Sometimes they've been really, really hot in games, and then other games, it's like, what is going on? You're getting scored on every shot. And so I agree with you. It's going to be a good matchup, and it's going to be a really important one for them.
Over this past week, we talked a lot about performance and the mental side of things. Reagan, this is a topic that is near and dear to your heart, and you sat down with Amy Kimball to talk about it. Before we play part of this interview, tell us your impressions of her and why this is so important.
She's amazing. I was also fangirling over her. I think I'm just excited to talk to people. Maybe that's the thing. But she is awesome. She has worked with the Pittsburgh Penguins in the past. She's worked with the New Jersey Devils. And now she just recently got a position with the Washington Capitals where she's working with their player development side and basically walking even the older players and the younger players through what's going on the ice in their lives outside of it. And basically she does mental performance, which is a little bit different than mental health. So mental health deals with all of, like, the stigmas around depression, anxiety, other disorders, or whatever you want to call them, like that. And also, nothing wrong if you're going through that stuff, because I also have suffered through it. But the mental performance side is what she really focuses on. And it's dealing with the confidence, dealing with the transitions, dealing with moving. So often as high performing athletes, it's a really big thing. And so I think it's extremely important. And she feels really comfortable with the Washington Capitals, because even the older players reach out to her. And that's cool to see that they want to still get better.
So let's listen to part of your interview with her.
In something like the World Championship, can you give some insight into what these athletes may experience over the next month?
Well, it's a totally different role. It's some of them are playing with guys that they don't even know, that they've never met before. And now you're representing your country, which is a little bit different in some ways for a lot of these athletes than being part of a regular team. So really, it's the role acceptance, understanding that you're now picking from some of the best athletes in the world and putting them on the same team. So you might have been a first or second liner wherever you were playing, and you're maybe a third or fourth liner. So recognizing that you have to kind of give up a little bit about what you were for whatever's best for the team that you're on now. And I think a lot of these players have such pride in representing their country, because not everybody's gets to do that. And so I think for a lot of them, there's that sense of just pride in their nation and being able to be there. So that does put a little bit of pressure on a lot of them too, because it's a shorter tournament. It's not throughout the whole season. So one bad game can really impact you. So the stakes for a lot of them are higher. And when you look at NHL players, most of these guys are guys whose teams aren't in the playoffs. So this is really meaningful games for them as well, to be able to go in there and play not only with their country, but also for something meaningful for them.
So what would be some advice that you'd give to these athletes that are going throughout the tournament?
Well, I think number one, have fun. And number two, it's still the same game. So listen to the people around you, use the resources around you. So making sure that you're eating correctly, you're getting sleep when you can, making sure that mentally you are preparing. So whether it's doing visualization or just focusing on the mindset that helps you to play your best, of really trying to replicate a lot of what you did no matter where you were playing before. But I think with athletes now, there's so many resources available that they should really take advantage of them as much as they can, but also having fun and enjoying being in another country, exploring the culture, exploring the area, and just getting to know the other players as well. So I think that's fun, is that these are your teammates for, you know, the next month or so. And so recognizing, like, get to know these guys. They're a big part of this experience for you as well. And so really embracing the experience as well as embracing the pressure to perform.
Good stuff.
How different and how much bigger is the pressure when you put on a national team jersey?
It's different. I think she touched on it, where also the compact nature of these tournaments make it very different, where the margins are so small because you just don't play enough games to make up for a bad mistake. It's like every game's a game seven once you get into next week. And that's a lot of pressure. And there's also, you know, regardless of what country you play for, there's a tremendous amount of pride and then I guess attention and pressure that goes with wearing that jersey. And you want to, not only you're kind of representing yourself, but in a bigger picture, you're representing your country. And that means a lot. Now, I might have been representing the Toronto Maple Leafs or whoever I was playing, but it doesn't resonate the same. Not with me, not with my family, not with people who know me when I got to play for Team Canada. So it's a different animal. And so there are different challenges in trying to be your best in this tournament. And the guys who are able to tap into some of the things that she's talking about give themselves the best chance to be their best here.
And Ray, we finally have this ability to talk about these things.
Oh, yeah, we do. And it's nice because I know Mike mentioned that even he didn't have this and he wished that he had. And growing up, I didn't even know this was a thing. And so I started to realize mental performance could help me probably like my freshman year of college. So I only had 6 years, 7 years left in my career at that point, but it was still extremely important for me to stay calm under pressure and bring me back down, because we've seen it in the USA game, Finland game, people get rowdy. The players will get rowdy. They will get out of like who they are as a player and come out and be someone that they're not. And so being able to pull yourself in, reel back in, and then being able to lead a team at the same time, it's a lot of pressure. And yeah, it takes a lot.
It does. And you're right. I think the comfort of the guys, the conversation around the dressing room is so much different than it was 20 years ago, 10 years ago. Whereas this is just normal. This is like a strength coach. It's like a dietitian. This is like a nutrition. This is like a skills coach. It's just another person to help you be your best, whether it's on the ice or be your best person. And everyone needs help in these areas. I mean, to try to navigate the pressure of being an athlete, it's a lot. So to utilize a professional who knows more than any of us, it makes so much more sense. But it's just that it's so common now. There is no stigma. There is no, I can't believe you need to go to that person. I can't believe you need help in that area. It's like, why wouldn't you go access the help that's available? It is such a change for the positive how this is viewed, where now every team in the NHL has a mental coach that will help you, whatever's going on in your life, hockey or otherwise. It's been a really important step forward for sports, for hockey, for the NHL, international hockey as well, in the last 10 years. It's completely for the better.
And we'll just say that technology has also allowed for it to be a lot more accessible. You no longer have to be part of a professional team that has a mental strength coach, that has a mental performance coach. There are now apps that you can log on to and speak to mental performance coaches who are thousands of miles away, who can help you throughout, who know what you need in order to calm down, and everything that you need in order to prepare for games mentally. And that can help younger athletes as they come up. So by the time they reach the professional level, they're there mentally, not just physically.
And more equipped to handle it. And one thing I do want to say, Mike, is yes, the stigma has lessened, but I wouldn't say there's no stigma.
No, because it's not gone. Yeah.
Yeah. There's so much that goes on in everyone's daily lives that when you come to the rink, you're expected to leave what's going on outside. And so when you step onto the ice and you're with your teammates, it can be really hard sometimes to separate yourself from what is happening outside and who you are. So that's why I've been saying all the time that all these athletes are more than athletes. And so even when people get disappointed in them or like, why would you do that? All of that, they have to remember at the same time, these are people and they have these feelings. They're hearing you. They're understanding that you're upset with them and they're not trying to disappoint. They're just doing the best that they can.
And we'll end this episode today with a reminder that this isn't anything to be ashamed of. This is something that is so important to every athlete, to every human, to be able to strengthen their minds, to be able to speak to someone else about the pressures that they're going through. So just a reminder, nothing to be ashamed about. Talk to someone if you need to. Yeah. Find the help that you need if you need it. And on a lighter note, don't forget to join our fantasy league. We don't have time to talk about it today. So guys, remember tomorrow what it is that happened. We will be back with another episode of the Totally Ice Hockey Show tomorrow. There'll be 6 games on Saturday. So lots to talk about. including the games today. Mike, Reagan, I know it was a bit of a, you know,
adventure yesterday.
Oh, adventure yesterday, a heavy topic today to finish the show
with. You know what, Marav? It's not a heavy topic. It's a good topic. The more we talk about it, the better off we're going to be.
I 100% agree with that. And on that note, great day, guys.
Bye,
everybody.